In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, good morning, all, and happy All Saints Sunday to each and every one of you. It's a joy to be with you on this day as we remember the cloud of witnesses, as we remember saints who have been important parts of our lives, as we literally gather at this altar surrounded by a witness to faithfulness, to love, and to the way of Jesus. It is a gift to be with you on this day. Now, last week as we gathered in the midst of some darkness after the shooting in Pittsburgh and the other acts of the week. And originally I had prepared a sermon having to do with the World Series champion Boston Red Sox, but clearly after those events it wasn't appropriate. So today, being All Saints Sunday, it seems only fitting that I should resurrect some of those words and call them forth from the past. And believe it or not, it actually fits. So give me a second as we reflect a little on All Saints Day today and on the world champion Boston Red Sox. Who here knows who David Price is? Okay, so that's what I figured. Some of us know who he is, some of us don't. Let me tell you, he is a ridiculously overpaid pitcher for the Boston Red Sox. No, really, he makes $30 million a year. It's ridiculous. Price is somebody who at times can seem masterful pitching, and at times seems to just melt into a puddle on the mound, imploding and giving away run after run after run. And Price had this way throughout the postseason of consistently doing exactly that. Whenever October would come around, he was terrible. Going into this year, his record in the postseason was a grand 0-9. That is, he had lost 9 of his 9 games in the postseason. And it didn't start very well as he started pitching against the Yankees. In 1 2/3 innings, he gave up 3 runs. He got yanked. It got to the point where literally he entered Yankee Stadium and the whole crowd and our bishop started cheering for David Price. Literally, they were cheering when he walked in because he had been so terrible. The Yankee fans even started cheering MVP as he walked in just to taunt him. And he had kind of earned it. I mean, he was terrible. Terrible. And then something happened. You could even see it in his face once the thing, whatever was going on, changed. He went from this sweaty, nervous mess to just looking calm, collected. On short rest, he threw 6 shutout innings in the ALCS Game 5 to help the Sox win the American League pennant. He maintained his momentum in 6 innings of pitching with just 2 runs in Game 2 of the World Series, and he was the winning pitcher in Game 5. Over those 3 games, he pitched with a 1.42 ERA. Now, let me tell you, for those of you who don't care the least about baseball, that's really good. Before, really bad. Okay? And so there were all kinds of newspaper articles talking about David Price's redemption. We love to do that with sports. And we love to interview players after games. And Angela and I both think those interviews are usually rather humorous. So tell me how the game went.
Well, we played really well. We stayed focused.
You hear the same thing every single time. It's the same response. But there was something different about David Price as he was asked about this World Series. Did anybody see the interview with him after they had won? Anybody? Almost immediately, he started crying. And for the next 2 minutes, the man just kept crying. He couldn't stop. He was angry with himself that he couldn't stop. He's, you know, pulling up his shirt and wiping his face and sniffing and snuffling. And he is weeping. And finally, the best he can get out is, what made this a good season? It wasn't winning. It wasn't that he pulled himself together. It was his teammates. He said, what made this a good year was my teammates. The interviewer clearly did not have this in their scripted, interview thing, so wasn't sure what to say. And finally said, "What about your teammates was so important?" And he said, "Well, they still believed in me. They had my back. They supported me even when I didn't think I could do it." Friends, in that interview, I think we hear something that is true on this All Saints Day. Community matters. It's real. It can carry us in hardship. It can hold us up when things have fallen apart. It can put us back together again when we can't do it on our own. Community can rejoice with us when times are good, weep with us when times are bad. And in that sniffly little crying interview, David Price reminds us we're made for community. As Christians, that shouldn't be a surprise. God is community, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, living in this intricate dance of love and interconnection. And out of that relationship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God's love bubbles over into the created world, creating all of life, creating all the stars, creating light, creating you, creating me. And when God started to create us, God didn't leave us by ourselves. I don't care which of the two creation stories you want to read in the beginning of Genesis. The thing is, there are multiple people God creates. Adam and Eve, right? Or just the whole of humanity, male and female, God created them. It continues throughout the scripture. God talks to people in community. He does it with Abraham and Sarah. Not just one person, but two. He does it with that little boy named Samuel who's dropped off at the temple, who isn't left by himself, but has the old priest, Eli, who teaches him about God, who teaches him how to hear God calling him. God does it with Jesus. Jesus comes out of the desert, and what does he do? He calls 12 people to himself. He calls a community together. And things are good. And things are bad. That's how it goes with community, right? Just look around. It's the same with this congregation. We're not sitting at home right now, staring at TV, enjoying Mass by ourselves. We've come together, despite the time change, despite all the things that are out there in the world, despite your to-do list, and we have come to be community, to be part of the great cloud of witnesses, the great community of faith. God has placed us as followers of Jesus Christ in community. Look to your left. Look at the person sitting there. Look to your right. Look at the person sitting there. Realize that's part of your community. That's somebody you can rejoice with, somebody you can support, somebody who can hold you up, somebody who can love you and receive your love. But you know, the beauty of this Christian community, the beauty of All Saints Day, is that we are reminded that the communion of saints isn't just this body of St. Mark's. It's not just the Episcopal Church. It's not just the Anglican Communion. It's not just all the Christians in the world or all the people of faith in the world. The communion of God is so much bigger. It's all the folks gathered around this altar who have gone before us. It's those saints we sang about in the hymn just before the gospel reading. All of them, part of God's community. I want you to think, really think for just a moment about the first person who loved you. Think about how it made you feel, what that experience was like, of knowing that you were known and loved. Think of the first person who taught you to pray or to have a relationship with God, who told you that the God who created all of this cared about you. Look at the photos and the items gathered around this altar. Those memories, those feelings, those tangible things are symbols and reminders of the saints of God, of the faith in Jesus Christ of the way that that faith can unite us, even when the bonds of death seem to be in the way. Friends, the story of God is a story of God calling us from isolation into relationship, from loneliness into community. Obviously, it's not always easy. Obviously, there are plenty of times we try to build walls and keep other people away from us because, frankly, let's be honest, people can be lovely, but they also can be kind of difficult at times, right? But God's desire for you, for me, for St. Mark's, for this world, is that we let down those walls and reach out beyond ourselves to live in community with one another, to remember that we are one, just as Jesus and the Father are one. Those walls are things we've created, not things God's created. Young and old, rich and poor, undocumented and documented, lifelong Christian, uncertain seeker, transgendered or cisgendered, doesn't matter who we are. Those labels, those barriers are not God's labels or barriers. And God is calling us to hold one another, to love one another, to recognize that we are the communion of saints. So on this All Saints Day, I have two questions for you, two little bits of homework to take with you this week. I want you to reflect this week on this first question. In your life, at school, at work, at home, wherever, who is one person you know who seems to be isolated and alone? And what's one way you could reach out to that person? I'm sure we all have them. Folks in our lives who are isolated and alone. What's one way this week, through a note, through an email, through a text, through a phone call, through a wave, that you could reach out, break down some of those barriers that exist? And then secondly, and I think far more difficultly, ask this question. What's one way you might let down one of the walls you carry with you that keeps you removed from other people? What's one way you might let somebody else in on the reality of your life? Friends, we're part of the great cloud of witnesses. We are part of all the saints. So how can we live into that? Let others know us, care for us, touch us. David Price knows that he needed it. We need it too. May the communion of saints hold you. And may you reach out and find the presence of God. Amen.